knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's an amazing truth of the Bible that here we have this very sorrowful sight. Our Lord Jesus Christ being crucified, nailed to the cross, and dying, hanging between heaven and earth, obviously in great sorrow and suffering. And yet those hours spent upon the cross should conclude with a shout of victory. A shout that ought to bring to his people the greatest joy. It is finished. In the Greek, in the original that it's written in, just one word, tetelestai. We read in the other Gospels that this was a loud shout. It appears the Lord Jesus had taken this drink so that his throat being taken care of, he could shout out very clearly, it's finished, it's all done. And then he bows his head and dies and gives up his soul to God. Well, just on face of things, we might think, well, Jesus is just saying, it's over. It's finally come to a conclusion. It's done. And that would be an appropriate understanding of the word, but it's really more than that. Because this word translated here, finished, can mean accomplished. All the work is done. It would be like you sending your child to the room to clean up the room. And finally they come out and say, Daddy, it's all finished. And that could mean that he or she has come to the end of their work. But it could mean, come here, Daddy, and see, look, the bed's made, the toys are all cleaned up in the closet, the clothes are all picked up, and I've vacuumed and I've dusted. Look at all that I have accomplished. It's finished. So Jesus certainly was concluding his time, but also noting that he had accomplished many things. Now, we could take a long sermon series to think about all that the Lord Jesus accomplished in his death. This morning, I just want us to think of one of the pivotal things that Jesus accomplished as he died. As our Savior cried out, "It is finished," he could point to the complete payment of the penalty of our sin. He had accomplished the complete payment of the penalty of our sin. As we view our Lord Jesus hanging on the cross here through John's eyes, and we seek to understand what was happening, one of the recurring themes that the Bible brings to us over and over again that we might understand Jesus dying on the cross was that he was hanging there as a substitute. He was taking the place of other people. He was paying the debt owed by sinners. He was taking their penalty. And so, as we observe him here, suffering and dying, we understand that he was doing this because of the sins of others. He was paying the penalty that we could never pay. He was satisfying the wrath of God that was against us because of our disobedience, our breaking of the law of God. I think it's helpful for us to think about what a person is going to experience who has never come to Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Just imagine that. A man, a woman, a young person, someone who has lived their lives for themselves, and they come to the end, the day of their death. They experience that unnatural happening of body and soul being torn apart. And then in their spirit, they go to stand before God for judgment. They're judged by God. They're condemned by God. And they're cast into hell. They're forsaken by God at that point. All of the blessings that they have known every day of their lives are withdrawn from them. They begin to experience the flames of an untold, unimaginable agony. Theirs is the worm that never dies. They experience that darkness that is so pervasive, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. So many people say, oh, I don't care. I want to go to hell. All my friends are going to be there. It's going to be a great party. There's not going to be any party. Here the Lord Jesus, in all of these expressions, uses picture language that speaks of the most terrible realities as people pay the penalty that sin and rebellion deserve. Think of a person experiencing all of that for 1 year. And it's only just begun. After 100 years of that kind of torment, they will not have paid their debt. After 1,000,000 years, eternity, it's ongoing. Everlasting punishment. Just recently, like many of you, I was sick with the flu. I hate to be sick with the flu. And the only thing that gets me through it is just give up and be sick, and maybe in a couple of hours you'll feel better. And maybe tomorrow it'll be all gone and your stomach will be settled down and you know, in a couple of days, you'll be back to health and strength again. But for the person in hell, there will never be any relief. And hell is a lot worse than being sick with the flu. Think of the story Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. He pictures the rich man in hell. And he's crying out that Lazarus might come and just put a drop of water on his tongue. What's a drop of water? When you're tired and thirsty, you don't want just a drop of water. You want a whole glass of water, a gallon of water. This man was so in so much torment, he imagined that just even a drop of water would bring him some kind of relief. But there would be no relief. How terrible hell must be. But our Lord Jesus, suffering for about 6 hours on the cross, was able to pay the penalty for all his people. He was able to take our guilt and shame, the debt that we all owe to God, and he was able to pay for it completely in the space of those hours on the cross. He drank every drop of that cup of wrath that was against sin, and God was fully satisfied. So at the conclusion, he could cry out, Tetelestai, it's finished. It has all been paid for. The debt is gone. The penalty is gone. Sins are now forgiven. You remember the words of McShane's hymn, When This Passing World Is Done. He reminds us, when I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them starred and shrink on the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. What a sight to view people being cast into hell. And you're not afraid of that because you know that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. Over and over, the New Testament stresses the perfect completion of this work. Listen to these familiar words from the book of Hebrews. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And the writer stresses Christ did this once. It doesn't ever need to be repeated. And by that one sacrifice, he has forever put away the penalty of sin. If you are here this morning and you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can look into the pit of hell and say to the devil, I have nothing to be afraid of. Jesus has taken my hell for me. I'll never go there. Take these words, it is finished, and rejoice in them. And when you struggle every day with sin, and you grieve at what you do, say to your soul, it's finished. Say to the devil when he comes accusing, it's finished. Jesus has paid it all for me. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would suffer and die for us. How unworthy we are. And yet in your grace and mercy, you became our substitute. And you took our shame and our guilt and our wrath. And you endured that cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to live to your honor and glory. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.